I'll ask you now, if you will, please turn with me in your Bible to a couple of passages. First of all, in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. We are working our way together through the Ten Commandments. We come this morning to the fourth commandment, as this morning I want to encourage you to enjoy the Lord's Day. Again, our text this morning, our primary text, is from the book of Exodus, chapter 20, beginning with verse 8. This is God's word. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who's within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And then if you keep that place marked and turn with me in your Bible to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13 and 14. Each week we're looking at different passages of Scripture that help us understand and apply the Ten Commandments to our lives. This morning we're looking at the book of Isaiah, chapter 58, beginning with verse 13. Again, this is God's Word. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Thus far, the reading of God's word. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, for clarity, for understanding, for encouragement, for blessing. For these things, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're working our way together through the Ten Commandments. We come this morning to what is probably the most misunderstood of all the commandments. And by misunderstood, I mean simply that most Christians haven't been taught regarding the Sabbath. But nevertheless, this morning, I want to encourage you to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Look with me at our text this morning. Again, our primary text this morning is from the book of Exodus, chapter 20, beginning with verse 8. The Lord says, remember the Sabbath day. Now, the word Sabbath in Hebrew, Shabbat, it means rest. Okay? The word Sabbath means rest. And so when the Lord says, remember the Sabbath day, he's literally saying, remember the rest day. Remember the day of rest. Okay? The Sabbath is intended to be a day of rest because you need rest. You were never intended to be go, 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 go all the time. Okay? You are not a perpetual motion machine. You know, over the years, people have tried to invent a machine that can go and go and go and never stop. They call it a perpetual motion machine. And although people have at times made that claim, no one's really been successful at making a machine, an invention, that can go and go and go forever. Inevitably, it runs out of gas. It runs down, it breaks, it falls apart, it burns up. We're not able to make a perpetual motion machine. You're not a perpetual motion machine either. You are made, you were designed in such a way that you require regular times of rest. Now, in our studies in the book of Exodus, we've spent a good deal of time on the covenant name of the Lord our God. We saw how the Lord revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush. God revealed himself as I am, the great I am. God says, in effect, I am who I am. Whenever you see the name Lord in all capital letters, you know that's the Hebrew name, Yahweh, which means simply I am, or I am who I am. The Lord reveals himself to his people as the great I am, meaning God simply is. He isn't like us. God doesn't need food. He doesn't need drink. He doesn't need clothing. He doesn't need shelter. And he doesn't need rest. Sometimes we call that the aseity of God or the independence of God. God just is. God and God alone can say, I am. But we aren't like that. We are not God. We do need food. We do need shelter. We do need clothing. And we need rest. It's part of the way you're made. We're designed to need regular times of rest. The Sabbath day is intended to be a day of rest because you and I need rest. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 says that if the axe is dull, it's going to take a lot more work. Okay? Imagine a man who's got to cut down a whole forest of trees. He's got to cut them down by hand, and then he's got to chop the wood. Imagine if this man says, I've got so much work to do. I've got so much wood to chop. I've got so many trees to chop down. I don't have time to sharpen my axe. You'd say that's ridiculous. Ecclesiastes says if the axe is dull, it's going to take more effort. If that axe is dull, think about how long it's going to take. It's going to be so much more difficult. It's going to be so more time-consuming. It's going to be so wearisome and exhausting. But if that man would simply take a moment and sharpen his axe, think about how much more effective he could be, how much more efficient, how much more productive, how much more quickly he could work, how much more he could get done if he would just pause and sharpen his axe. The Sabbath day is intended to be a day of rest, a day of refreshment, a day of renewal. The Sabbath day is intended to be a day in which you sharpen your axe. Sabbath day is a day of rest because you need rest. The typical American goes to work 5 days a week, Monday to Friday or whatever. But they say the typical American, during those 5 days, they say the typical American only does about 3 days worth of work. That is between the time spent making personal phone calls, shopping online, doing your nails, working on your fantasy football league, checking out those important videos about kittens. Okay. Between all the time that's sort of frittered away, they say the typical person at the workplace within 5 days only does about 3 days worth of work. And one of the reasons is because we come to work tired, dull, frazzled, distracted. Think about how much more productive you could be. Think about how different your life would be if you started your work week sharp, focused, energetic, renewed, refreshed. The Sabbath day is intended to be a day of refreshment and renewal, a day in which you're sharpened so you go back out into the work week and you're laser sharp. Think about how productive you could be, how different life would be if your thinking wasn't so cloudy, if your attitude was better, if you felt better, if you were well rested and renewed. Think about how different your life would be if you went into work with energy and excitement and enthusiasm. The Sabbath day is intended to be a day of rest and renewal because you need it. Now, we used to say, there used to be a saying, work hard, play hard. And that was kind of a common saying for maybe a generation, that Americans worked hard and then we played hard. That's not sustainable. You can't work hard all during the week and then work hard on the weekend at your hobbies and your entertainment. And so they say nowadays, Americans work at their play and play at their work. That is because we find work to be frustrating and disappointing and unsatisfying that more and more Americans invest their energy and their enthusiasm in their hobbies, in their weekend activities. We put all our energy into distracting ourselves and fulfilling ourselves on the weekend. We work at our play, and so no wonder we show up at work and we're exhausted, we're tired from all the things we've done on the weekend, and so we play at our work. They say Americans work at their play and play at their work. It's kind of like a little boy, little baby, little boy, toddler, and you try to put him down for a nap. And he's fussy. He's cranky. He says, I'm not tired. I'm not sleepy. I want to run around. I want to play. I want to be like one of the big boys. I don't want to take a nap. But it doesn't really matter what he says, does it? He can say he's not sleepy, but the more fussy he is, the more cranky he is, no matter what he says, the fussier he gets, the more you're thinking to yourself, that boy needs a nap. Okay? Our world needs a nap. Okay? You cannot watch 5 minutes of Fox News and tell me our society's not cranky. Okay? You can't watch 5 minutes of MSNBC or CNBC and tell me that our world is not irritable and childish. Okay? You can't spend 2 seconds on social media and say something's not wrong with our society. Okay? Our world needs a nap. And I mean that seriously, that you will never function at your capacity. You will never be as sharp as you should be unless you're taking regular times of rest. Is it any wonder that the political arguments we hear today, when was the last time you heard someone in the media talking about politics and you thought, boy, that person's really sharp? It happens sometimes, but not often, okay? Thinking in our society is cloudy, it's fuzzy, it's muddled, it's lazy. People are cranky and fussy, and there's a lot of reasons for that, but one is because our society is tired. Okay, we were designed, we were made to have regular times of refreshment and renewal. Okay, this world needs a nap. The Lord says, remember the rest day. Remember the Sabbath day. Remember the day of rest. The Lord has given us 1 day in 7 to rest from our work. Verse 9, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. The Puritan Thomas Watson said, consider how magnanimous God is, how generous God is. God could easily say, 6 days belong to me, and I'll give you 1 day to take care of your affairs. But he says, consider how gracious God is that out of 7 days, God gives you 6 to do all the things you need to do. I mean, that's amazing. We often complain and say, if I only had a little more time. If only I had 1 more day. But you know what? If a week was 12 days long, we'd still fill it up with stuff. The fact is, out of 7 days, God gives you 6 to do all the things you need to do. And those are good things. He says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the 7th day is a Sabbath. It's a rest day to the Lord your God. The Lord has given us 1 day in 7 to rest from our work. He says, on it, on the Sabbath day, you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant. In other words, it's not as if I can say, well, it's the Sabbath day, so I'll put my feet up and I'll sip lemonade and I'll make other people work. I'll make my kids work. We're not supposed to work on the Sabbath, but we're also not supposed to make other people work for us. Everybody needs rest. We all need time off. We all need downtime. Even if you enjoy your work, you still need a break from it. You still need to take time away from it. Okay? Everybody needs it. The Ten Commandments are given specifically to God's people, but they apply to everybody. Look what he says. He says, on the Sabbath day, you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock. Even the donkey or the mule that's been pulling the wagon, he needs a break. Or the sojourner who's within your gate. The sojourner is the foreigner. He is the stranger. He is not a Hebrew. He's not Jewish. He's not a believer. He's not even someone who's become Jewish. No, he's still a sojourner. He's just living with you for now. But this isn't his home. He's staying with you for some reason, perhaps for work. Maybe he's fled from war or some other difficulty. Maybe he's just passing through. But maybe he's a farmhand. He's not Jewish. He's not here. He's a sojourner. The Lord says the Sabbath applies to him too. See, even though the Ten Commandments are given specifically to God's people, they still apply to everybody. Because as we've seen earlier, the Ten Commandments are a reflection of God's nature. Okay? We're going to see later on, there are some rules that God gives that are symbolic, they're temporary, we call them ceremonial. Some of them were intended just to keep God's people separate from the world for a while. But that's not what we're talking about this morning. We're talking about the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are not temporary. They weren't just for Jewish people because they are a reflection of who God is. Remember, we saw in the introduction of the Ten Commandments, God begins by saying, I am the Lord. I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall not have any gods before me. So he's clearly giving the Ten Commandments to his people. Right? The Lord descends on Mount Sinai in thick cloud and smoke, thunder, lightning, and earthquake. The Israelites have assembled at the base of the mountain. He's giving the Ten Commandments to his people. But how does he introduce them? He says, I am the Lord. I am the great I am. This is who I am. And so the Ten Commandments are not just arbitrary rules. They are a reflection of who God is. And if you've got time, not right now, but at some time in your leisure today, I'd encourage you, look in your bulletin, and I've included in there a little something about the Ten Commandments. What do the Ten Commandments reveal about God? If you look at the Ten Commandments, you'll see each of them, they're not arbitrary rules. They reveal different aspects of God's nature. They're eternal and they're unchanging, and therefore they apply to everybody. You would never say, it's okay for that guy to steal because he's not a Christian. You would never say it's okay for an unbeliever to murder. No, the Ten Commandments are given to God's people, but they apply to everyone. It's not okay for an unbeliever to steal. It's not okay for an unbeliever to murder. It's not okay for an unbeliever to break the Sabbath. The Ten Commandments given specifically to the people of God, but they apply to everyone. And here's why. For in 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them. Okay? He says, here's the reason for the Sabbath day. He says, it's grounded in creation. It's grounded in the principle of creation that God created all that is, and he created it all in the space of 6 days. In 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Sometimes people say, I just don't need time off. I'm not tired. Well, the Lord wasn't tired either. The Lord explicitly says he doesn't get tired. Okay? And yet on the seventh day, he rested. He refreshed himself. He rested from the work of creation, and he refreshed himself. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now think about it. For 5 days, God creates all kinds of things. Sun and the moon. He separates the seas from the dry land. He creates the forests of the field and the animals and the beasts of the field. And each of those first 5 days, God looks at what he's done and he says, it's good. It's good. And then on the sixth day, he creates man, male and female, the pinnacle of his creation. And God looks back on all that he's made. And on the sixth day, he says, it's very good. Okay, so for 5 days, the Lord creates, and he says it's good. On the sixth day, he says it's very good, but on the seventh day, he says it's blessed. There's good, there's very good, and there's blessed. The Lord rested on the Sabbath day, and he blessed that day. Now, sometimes it is said that the good is the enemy of the best. And what that means is sometimes there's so many good things in the world that sometimes good things keep us from doing the best things. You know, work is good, but sometimes we're so caught up in work we neglect our family. Family's good, but sometimes we're so caught up in our family we neglect the Lord. Sometimes the good is the enemy of the best. Well, I think you can go a step further. You can say sometimes the good is the enemy of the blessed. The Lord has set apart the Sabbath day as a day for you to be blessed. Don't you want to be blessed? I know you have good things in life to do. You even have some things to do that are very good. Okay? There's things in life to do that are good. There's things in life that are very good. But on the Sabbath, God intends to bless you. The Sabbath day is given to you for your blessing. This is not some new thing that God is introducing just to the Jewish people. All right, go back to the beginning of the commandment. He does not say, I'm going to create this new rule just for you Jewish people. It's not what he says. He says, remember the Sabbath day. Remember, yes, because this is something old. This is something that's been around since creation. Everybody, every nation, all people used to keep the Sabbath. This goes back to creation. He's not saying I'm introducing something new for the Jewish people. He's saying, remember, this is an ancient principle that goes back to the beginning of creation, like marriage and family and parents and worship. This is from the very beginning. Don't forget it. He says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Well, holy, of course, means special, consecrated to God, dedicated to God. The Sabbath day belongs to the Lord in a special way. That's how the passage ends, right? The commandment ends. He says, back at creation, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So God says the Sabbath day belongs to him in a special way. Well, you say, wait a minute. Every day belongs to God. I know that, but God says the Sabbath day belongs to him in a special way. He declared it holy. So the Sabbath day belongs to the Lord in a special way. But the commandment begins, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. In other words, the Sabbath day belongs to the Lord in a special way, so it should be dedicated to the Lord in a special way. When he says, remember the Sabbath day, it's kind of like the way you remember an anniversary. You don't go, oh yeah, I was married 25 years ago today. No, to remember your anniversary is to celebrate it, is to commemorate it. You remember it, maybe with flowers, a candlelight dinner, a special occasion, maybe even a big party. To remember the Sabbath day is to celebrate it. To celebrate it unto the Lord. He says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, to keep it special. The Sabbath day is intended to be something special, a celebration of the Lord. To remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy is to enjoy the Lord's day. Okay, look with me at our passage in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 58, beginning with verse 13. Each week we're looking at different passages that help us understand and apply the Ten Commandments. This morning, we're looking at Isaiah 58. The Lord says, if you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, well, the people had gotten in the habit of just treating the Sabbath like any other day. They had the gates of the city would be open. They would do business on it just like any other day. God says, if you'll turn back from that, if you'll repent of that, and notice, he refers to the Sabbath as my holy day. The Sabbath belongs to the Lord in a special way. It's his day, sometimes referred to as the Lord's day. It belongs to him in a special way. He says, if you'll stop doing just whatever you feel like on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight. He's saying, if you'll accept that God knows what's best, that God knows what you need, and if you'll just embrace it and learn to appreciate and enjoy the Sabbath, if you'll call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable. I still meet people sometimes who say, you know, boy, I remember when I was a kid, Sundays were terrible. My parents made me sit in the corner and I couldn't do anything. To honor the Lord's day, to honor the Sabbath day, is to appreciate it and to respect it. And he says, if you learn to just accept it, enjoy it. It's like when you're putting that little boy down for a nap, and he's fussing and he's fighting. And I want to play. And you're thinking to yourself, boy, you don't know what you're missing. What I wouldn't give for a nap right now myself. You know what I mean? He doesn't know what he's missing. If you could just accept, instead of fighting the Sabbath day, if you accept it, you know what? God knows what's best. Okay, he made me, he created me. Maybe I should follow the instructor's manual, okay? Maybe I should do what I'm told. If you just accept and embrace it and learn to enjoy it. He says, if you'll call the Sabbath a delight, if you honor it, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord. You see what he says? Verse 13, if you'll call the Sabbath a delight, if you'll just accept this idea that God has set apart one day in seven to rest from your usual responsibilities, if you'll accept that and learn to enjoy it, instead of dreading it, learn to say, you know what? I can't wait. It's coming up and I just get to relax. And for one day, I don't have to think about all my troubles and my problems. If you'll just learn to enjoy that, he says, if you'll call the Sabbath a delight, then verse 14, then you'll take delight in the Lord. In other words, one purpose of the Sabbath is to give you rest. You need a break. You need to be refreshed and renewed. But another purpose of the Lord's day is to help you learn to love the Lord. All right? Imagine there's two families. Okay? And for our purposes, I'll say that neither of them have any kind of church background. They have no Bible instruction at all, okay? This applies to anybody, but just for the purpose of illustration. Let's say there's two families that have no church background at all, okay? They both have problems. I mean, we all do. We all have our issues. But especially if you don't have any church background, you don't have a church family, you don't have instruction, you're going to have problems. We all have problems. So here's two families. They're basically equal. They don't have any church knowledge, any background, any church family. They've got issues and struggles. But let's say both of them have some interest in the Lord. Okay, they both have some interest in spiritual things. So here's two families, and they're basically identical except for one thing. One family starts coming to worship on Sunday regularly. Okay? Maybe not perfectly, maybe, but for more or less, one family starts coming to worship on Sunday and one family doesn't. Which of those families is going to grow? Which of those families is going to learn? Which of those families is going to be fed? Which of those families is going to flourish and prosper and become fruitful? Which of those families is going to be rested? Which of those families is going to learn? Which of them is going to learn to know and to love the Lord? And 5 years from now, which of those families is going to be back still struggling with the same questions and the same issues, okay, that they were struggling with 5 years ago? I say this from experience. I have the privilege of a lot of times meeting families in the community who are very dear families, and often they have an interest in spiritual things. They have a lot of issues and problems, but often I meet families that do have an interest in spiritual things. And I've seen the one thing that seems to make the biggest difference is whether or not they're willing to start coming regularly to worship. The Sabbath day is given to help you grow, to learn to love the Lord. Remember, that's what life is all about. Jesus says, love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the first and greatest commandment. That's the most important thing at all. But we do have responsibilities, and too often we get caught in the weeds. We get caught up on all the details. We can't see the forest for the trees, and we get stuck in all our responsibilities. But then we have this one day. You know, it's like God sends us out into the week. We have all our work to do, but then we have one day just to focus on loving the Lord. The Sabbath is a gift to you, to refresh you, to renew you, to help you relax, and to help you grow in loving the Lord. He says, if you delight in the Sabbath day, you will delight in the Lord. And I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. The heights of the earth are the mountaintops, the places where the view is amazing, where it's beautiful. It's hard to get up there. It's hard to climb up there, and once you get up there, it's hard to stay up there. But God says, if you delight in me, I'll cause you to ride on the heights of the earth. Elsewhere, he says, delight yourself in the Lord, and I will give you the desires of your heart. See, the Sabbath day is not a curse. It's a blessing. It's a gift to help you rest, to help you relax, to be renewed, to help you learn to love the Lord, and ultimately so that you might be blessed. He says, I'll make you ride on the heights of the earth. I'll feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. I'm going to bless you and feed you and nurture you and nourish you. And then he says, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. In other words, he's saying, this is a promise. This is a promise. If you will learn to accept and embrace the Sabbath, he says, you will learn to love the Lord, and I will bless you exceedingly. He says, that is my promise. Now, I know some people still believe that the Sabbath seems kind of arbitrary. Why is it okay for me to do these things 6 days a week and all of a sudden it's wrong for me to do on Sunday? That just seems arbitrary. Is it arbitrary? Do you really think that the Ten Commandments address every other area of our life? I mean, the Ten Commandments address parenting, family, children, our speech, our thoughts. You really think the Ten Commandments are going to address every area of life and not address our use of time? Is there anything in our life more important than our use of time? Is there anything that weighs on you? Is there anything more precious to you than your time? You really think the Ten Commandments will address every aspect of life and not your time? Besides, remember we've seen that the first four commandments are primarily addressed to worship. The first commandment tells us who to worship. I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. The first commandment tells us who to worship. The second commandment tells us how to worship. You're not to make a graven image, because the Lord Jesus Christ is the very image of God. So we worship the Father through Jesus the Son. The first commandment tells us who to worship. The second commandment tells us how to worship. We saw last week the third commandment addresses the heart or the attitude of worship. You shall not lift up the name of the Lord God in vain. God's word is, his name is weighty, it's powerful. The great I am. That's rich and heavy with meaning. It's glorious and weighty. You're not supposed to throw God's name around like it means nothing. You're not supposed to just go through the motions and worship. He says, rather than lifting up God's name lightly, you're to call upon the name of the Lord in faith, in confidence, in trusting in the great name of God. The first commandment tells us who to worship. The second commandment tells us how. Okay? The third addresses the heart or the attitude of worship. And the fourth commandment addresses the time of worship. Think about it. We're talking specifically about public worship. Public worship, by definition, requires that a time be set. Okay? I mean, how would this work if one of the tribes of Israel said, you know, I think we'll take a Tuesday as our Sabbath. And someone else says, well, I think we'll have our Sabbath every third Thursday. Well, you know, you can come here on a Thursday. I won't be preaching that day. Okay, by definition, if we're talking about public worship, there has to be an agreed upon time when we're all of God's people going to gather together to worship. Now, there's a couple of issues that almost invariably come up when we address this. And so I want to try to address them quickly, briefly. Number one, some people believe the Sabbath doesn't apply anymore. I think it's a very valid, it's a very legitimate question, because there's a couple of passages in the New Testament that almost seem like they're suggesting the Sabbath doesn't apply anymore. There's a passage in Romans, and there's a passage in Colossians that almost sound like they're saying that the Sabbath doesn't apply anymore. And I think I'll tell you why. In addition to the Sabbath day, God also gave the Jewish people different holidays, Passover and Pentecost and so on, different feast days, and sometimes those were called Sabbaths. Plural. Remember, Sabbath means rest, and obviously you don't work on a holiday, and so those were also called Sabbaths. In addition to the Sabbath, there were other Sabbaths, resty holidays. Well, the early Christian church was Jewish. All the original disciples were Jewish, and so, of course, they've spent their life celebrating these Jewish holidays, and you can imagine they probably continued to at first. Read the book of Acts. They were still going to the temple. But then when people start coming to know the Lord who aren't Jewish, the question comes up, well, do I have to follow Jewish ceremonies and Jewish holidays? And so in Colossians, Paul says those Sabbaths are just a shadow of things to come. I think he's talking about the special feast days and the holidays. When he says in Romans that, well, some people think one day is different than another, I think he's talking about those special holidays and saying, we don't have to follow those Jewish holidays anymore. I think he's talking about the Sabbaths, plural, but I don't think there's anywhere, there's not even a hint in the New Testament that Paul or any of the apostles would dare suggest that we don't have to follow the Ten Commandments. You see, they didn't see the Sabbath as being contrary to Jesus. Rather, they understood the Sabbath to be all about Jesus. We don't have time, unfortunately, to look at all these different passages. There's at least three key things that Jesus says about the Sabbath. Okay? First thing he says the Sabbath is made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Okay? It was the Pharisees who were so afraid that people would break the Sabbath that they added all sorts of man-made rules. Okay? For example, let's say you're a day laborer and your job is to deliver lumber. So every day you're picking up loads of lumber, and every day you're loading a wagon with lumber, and your shoulders are sore, and they're raw, and they're bruised. You do that for 6 days. On the Sabbath, you need a break from that. Well, the Pharisees took that a step further. They said, suppose you have something in your pocket, and suppose you walk from one room to another. They said, well, if you've got something in your pocket, technically you're carrying a load. And if you go from one room to another, technically you've carried a load from one place to another. You've just broken the Sabbath. Well, I think every one of us here can see that there's a difference between carrying a big heavy load of lumber. That's very different than walking into a room with keys in your pocket. It was the Pharisees who added all these man-made rules to try to protect the Sabbath. Jesus is the one who says, listen, the Sabbath is made for you. It's meant to be a blessing. Pharisees turned the Sabbath into a burden. They turned it into work. That's ironic. As if we've got to work hard to figure out how to keep it. Jesus says, no. Jesus abolishes all that nonsense and says, the Sabbath is for you. It's a day of rest. It's a day for you to be blessed. He says, the Sabbath was made for man. It's made for you. Secondly, Jesus says, it's lawful to do good deeds on the Sabbath. If your son falls into a well, you don't say, hello, see you tomorrow. Of course not. You pull him out. God has given us the Sabbath as a day to rest and relax and refresh. But that doesn't mean you can't do good on that day. We saw last week in Confessing Christ class that Jesus, on the Sabbath day, sees a man with a dropsy. The man's sick. Jesus turns to the Pharisees. What? He says, is it not lawful to do good on the Sabbath? Of course it is. We sometimes call those works of mercy and necessity. There's some things that just have to be done. There's nothing wrong with that. The Sabbath is intended to be a day for good things. And sometimes that means there's good works that are sometimes necessary. In fact, think of all the things that you know the Lord wants you to do. There's things that God puts on your heart. But sometimes it's in the busyness of the week, they just don't get done. You know that card you meant to write, that phone call, that person you've been concerned about. Some of the most important things, the Lord lays that on your heart, but in the busyness of your usual responsibilities, you don't get to. God has given us the Sabbath day as a day set apart for you to do those great things. That's a great day for you to visit someone who's a shut-in. Or just call somebody and check on them. Or spend extra time in prayer. Or spend more time studying scripture. Or spend some good time as a family. It's lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Third thing Jesus says, he says the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Now, think about that a moment. He's referring to himself. He calls himself the Son of Man because he's acknowledging he, among other things, he's fully human. And yet he claims to be Lord of the Sabbath. Well, we've already seen the Sabbath belongs to God. It belongs to the Lord. It is the Lord's day. How dare Jesus say that he is Lord of the Sabbath? The only way Jesus can be Lord of the Sabbath is if he's Lord. He is the eternal I am. He is the great I am. And yet he came and he became one of us. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. And so Jesus is able to change the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. Okay? Obviously, in the Old Testament, Sabbath was originally the Saturday. It was the seventh day. And there are people, Seventh-day Adventists, Seventh-day Baptists, there are people who say that Saturday should still be the Sabbath. I have even read that the Christian church does not have the right to change the Sabbath day. I agree 100%. We do not have that right. But Jesus has that right. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. And Jesus, the great I am, took on flesh. He became the Son of Man. And he obeyed the Ten Commandments perfectly. You and I don't do that. We don't just break the Sabbath. We break all the commandments. But Jesus came and he obeyed them perfectly. Now, rules have consequences. Okay? If they don't, they're not really rules. Jesus came to fulfill the Ten Commandments for us. But he also came to pay the consequences for us. And so that Jesus hung on that cross to take our judgment and our condemnation, not just for breaking the Sabbath, but for breaking all the commandments. Jesus died in our place to take our judgment. And then on the third day, he rose again. That is, he rose on Sunday, the first day of the week. Well, now normally you say it doesn't really matter what day he rose again. Well, that's true. Except the Sabbath was always the day that the Lord met with his people. Throughout history, that was the day God met with his people. Well, Jesus rose again on a Sunday, and immediately that evening, the resurrected Lord met with his disciples. Remember how Thomas wasn't there? We call him Doubting Thomas. He wasn't there, and when he heard about it later, he said, I don't believe it. I won't believe it unless I can see the nail prints in his hands and put my hand inside. And so what happened? Jesus met with his disciples Sunday night, first day of the week. Thomas wasn't there. And so 1 week later, that is the next Sunday, once again on the first day of the week, Jesus, the resurrected Lord, appeared again to his disciples and says, hey, Thomas, look and see the nail prints in my hands. Put your hand in my side and don't be disbelieving, but believe. And so Jesus begins meeting with his disciples on Sunday. That wasn't our decision. It wasn't the early church's decision. Christ just did it because he's Lord of the Sabbath. And he changed the day of the Sabbath. He can do that because, on one hand, the Sabbath is grounded in creation, one day in seven. Jesus maintained that. But also, the Ten Commandments are actually listed in two different places in the Bible, not just in Exodus, but also Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy tells us that another reason for the Sabbath was for the Jewish people to celebrate the deliverance out of Egypt. But that deliverance out of Egypt, as important as it is, that was just a foreshadowing of the greater deliverance when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. That Jesus saves us. He delivers us from sin, death, and hell forever. And so, whereas the Sabbath was always the day God met with his people, God always met with his people on Saturday, Jesus rose from the dead victorious. He understood the true meaning of the Sabbath. He chose to begin meeting with his people on Sundays. And after a few weeks, the disciples began to think, well, I guess God knows what he's doing. There's a psalm that says, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, you can read that psalm, and I think, that doesn't have anything to do with the Sabbath day. But when the disciples found themselves in this position where all of a sudden Jesus keeps meeting with us on Sunday instead of Saturday, they thought of that psalm. And they said, well, I guess that's what that psalm means. This is the day the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. And so the Christian church accepted that the Christian Sabbath is now on Sunday because that's what Jesus did. He's the Lord of the Sabbath, and he has the authority to change the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday, but it's still one day in seven. But we're gathering not to celebrate deliverance out of Egypt, to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The Apostle Paul says we are washed, we're forgiven, we're cleansed, that Jesus rose again he rose for our justification, that you are declared righteous in the eyes of God. If Jesus had never risen, we could just say, I hope his death did what we think it did. If Jesus had never risen, well, I hope my sins are paid for. But the fact that Jesus rose from the dead, that was visible proof that Christ's sacrifice of the cross has been accepted, that the wrath of God has been satisfied. The fact that Christ rose from the dead, that was visible proof that our sin has been paid for and that Christ is living, is alive, he's risen. And so that in Christ, we are delivered, we are forgiven, and we are justified, we are declared righteous. And so in Acts chapter 20, when the Apostle Paul was in a hurry, he's trying to get to Jerusalem in time for the Passover. So busy, he couldn't even go to Ephesus, although he wanted to. And yet it says on the first day of the week, he stopped and he meets with all the disciples and he preached to them there and they worshiped together. He was in a hurry, but it was the Lord's day. It's the Christian Sabbath, so he stopped. In 1 Corinthians, Paul is writing to the Corinthian church and he says, I want you to set aside money. When you get together on the first day of the week, set aside, take up an offering, set aside money. And when I come, I'll collect it, and I'll give it to the widows in Jerusalem. Or in the passage we read this morning, the Apostle John is in exile on the island of Patmos. He says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I had this vision of the resurrected Jesus Christ, who said, I was dead, and now I live, and I'm alive forever. The Sabbath, you can call it Sabbath, you can call it Christian Sabbath. The early church began simply calling it the Lord's Day. That's actually an old name, it goes back to the Old Testament. But they began calling it the Lord's Day because people said Sabbath, they thought of Saturday. They said Sabbath, they thought of the Pharisees. So let me just start calling it the Lord's Day. It's the fulfillment of the fourth commandment. To remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. It is to enjoy the Lord's Day. It is to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is to rest from your usual responsibilities and set aside this one day to be refreshed, to be rest, to grow in loving the Lord, and to rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. The Old Testament Sabbath, you worked for 6 days, and then you rested. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think Jesus very deliberately changes the Sabbath to the first day of the week so that we begin resting in the work of Jesus Christ. When Christ had fulfilled the Ten Commandments, and he is hanging on the cross and he's about to die, he cries out, "It is finished," meaning it's done. The work of salvation is done. It's been accomplished. And so we rest in the finished work of Jesus. Maybe I've had a tough week. Maybe I didn't do so well. Maybe I said some things, thought some things, and did some things I shouldn't have done. I repent of that, and I rest in the fact that Jesus Christ has fulfilled the law for me, and he has paid for my sin. The Sabbath day is a day to rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And then you go out into the world refreshed and renewed. You go out in the power of the resurrected Lord, forgiven, washed, cleansed, accepted, loved, and embraced. Then you're sent out in the world in the power of the resurrected Lord to do your work. You're renewed, your focus is better, your attention is better, your attitude is better, you're sharp. And you're sent out to serve the risen Lord. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we bless you that you understand us. You're our maker, our creator. You get us. You understand how we were made. You made us with intention. You made us with these needs. Help us, Lord, to humble ourselves and to recognize our need for rest. Thank you that though you are eternal God and you do not grow weak or weary, nevertheless, you understand us. You know how we're made. You know our frame. You know we're weak. Refresh us, Lord. Help us to be refreshed. Help us to lay down our burdens at the foot of the cross. Help us to rest in that finished work, that perfect work of Jesus. Jesus has, he's done it all. And we pray, oh Lord, you would send us out this week in the power of the resurrected Lord. We ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.